Good morning. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. We're going to change gears and move from large database analysis to a small pilot project that we did, and also go from looking at cancer mortality to screening. Neither I nor any of my research partners have any relationships to disclose in terms of commercial interest. We know that colorectal cancer is a significant issue within the United States. And within the population that we have done some work and hope to do some future work in Appalachian, Pennsylvania, the incidence and mortality rates are higher than the national averages. In the counties in which we had done this pilot work, the rates or the prevalence of colorectal cancer was 20 to 30% greater. We also know that we don't do as well as we could in terms of screening adults in the United States for colorectal cancer screening. We know that there's patient and population factors, there's medical environmental factors, but there's also provider factors. And part of the reason that people don't get screened is it's not recommended by their providers. And for a lot of reasons, time constraints, perhaps discomfort about talking about this with their patients, but the bottom line is if we don't recommend it, it's going to be hard for our patients to participate in screening options. We also know that there are a lot of evidence-based methods for improving colorectal cancer screening, and we chose to look at academic detailing as a method to improve colorectal cancer screening. Academic detailing is a one-on-one interface between, in our study, a physician, but it could be a nurse, it could be somebody that's got medical education, and then talking with providers in a practice. There's information sharing, there is handouts, there's perhaps electronic media that's used to educate and provide new information to the folks that we're trying to detail. Patient materials and also provider handouts and provider tools can be provided. We know that it's shown improvement in a lot of aspects of clinical care, including cancer screening. And we also know that provided an appropriate mechanism, physicians tend to receive this as a welcomed intervention. In our study, we went into the four practices. We tried to do a qualitative evaluation to understand if they had barriers to colorectal cancer screening. We used this information then to develop a academic detailing intervention, and we wished then to assess pre- and post-intervention change in clinician knowledge, screening recommendations, and screening rates within these practices. We'll talk briefly about the methods that we had accomplished in our study. We had our study reviewed by the IRB, and it was approved for the work that we had planned. We recruited four primary care practices in Appalachian, Pennsylvania. Three practices were part of a large primary care network, but they were geographically separated, and each of these practices had an EMR that they were actively using. EMR is electronic medical record. One academic practice was also recruited for our study, and this practice did not use an EMR. They were still paper-based at the time of the study. We hired folks within each of our practices that were participating to abstract the information that we sought from the medical record, and we did this to minimize HIPAA issues and also to allow them to have control of their data and their charts. And this is a tactic that has been very successful with other groups, and it was also hugely successful in our study. You can see the inclusion criteria here, basically 50 years of age and older, males and females. If you were in for an acute visit, the charts were not reviewed. They were not included in the review for the charts that we pulled randomly. Nor if they had colorectal cancer symptoms, they weren't included in the review because of the chance that they would be sent for colorectal cancer screening anyway. We looked at, had they ever had screening for colorectal cancer, were they current with colorectal cancer screening, had they had screening in the past year, and had they had a provider recommendation for screening in the past year. We used CABIG, which is the Cancer Bioinformatics Grid with the NCI, to collect the data, so our data abstractors in the practices were able to upload directly to CABIG information about our patients. It was de-identified, so there was no way that once it was in this data set that anybody could identify the patients. The research team was able to be actively involved in developing the common data elements with NCI for this project, and we hope to use it in the future. We met with the medical staff at each of these practices and gave them an overview of our study, got buy-in from the practices. We did an environmental survey to see what was being done for cancer screening within our practices and how they were improving, helping to recruit patients for routine cancer screening. We had three academic detailing sessions over a 3 to 6 week period in each practice where we went in. We brought lunch for the whole staff. We would meet with the whole staff, but would make sure that we spent at least 5 to 10 minutes and sometimes 15 minutes with each of the providers in the practice to talk about these four topics: colorectal cancer screening methods, reimbursement, patient counseling, and follow-up. And we tailored the information that we provided based on the county statistics in which they were practicing. We also did a provider survey, both pre- and post-intervention, assessing knowledge, attitudes, and practices for colorectal cancer screening. We also provided American Cancer Society information for the practices to use for themselves and for their patients. Briefly about our providers that participated with us, we can see that almost all of them had cancer screening if they were eligible for that. And pre-intervention, the most almost everybody recommended colonoscopy. Post-intervention, there were folks that were willing to use the fecal immunochemical test for screening as a first line, so we did have some changes there. FIT testing, although had the fecal immunochemical test, although had been available for 2 to 3 years prior to this study, very few people knew about it, and we showed an increase in their knowledge. And after the intervention, 100% felt that it would be an effective method to be using for screening. We abstracted almost 700 records during the course of the study. And we can see from this table that pre- and post-intervention, we really didn't show a change in screening between pre- and post-intervention, except at one site, and that's site number 3, where they had 21% pre- and then 53% post-intervention. But basically, it was about 56 to 60% of the patients were screened in this intervention, pre-intervention and post-intervention. Most of the interventions for the patients, the screening interventions, were colonoscopy, as can be seen at the bottom bullet there. However, we were also interested to see if there was going to be a change in the number of screening recommendations and then completed screenings within the past year. And here we did see an improvement. So when we looked at the records, we went back a year from the date of the record abstraction to see if there was a screening recommendation and then a screening test completed. And we can see that within pre-intervention, within the previous year, only 17% had a screening accomplished versus after the intervention, which was just a 6-month period, 35% had shown that they had been screened, so that was a significant improvement. The other interesting thing on this work was that the first three offices that used an electronic medical record, showed an improvement in screening in the past year, where the paper-based chart office did not. This was an interesting finding in our pilot work, and we don't know how to explain it, but actually documented recommendations for screening went down in the previous year. and we don't quite understand this, and we need to look at it in a follow-on study. We think perhaps that tests were ordered and not then documented in the medical record because they were ordered, so it wasn't in the note where the abstractors were looking, but the test was accomplished, as we had seen in the previous slide. The other thing that we did was looked at recommendation and or screened in the past year, and we can see that these practices had a nearly 75% to 80% rate of either recommending and or then getting the screening accomplished, which is, we think, a fairly high rate, but still with room to improve. We asked the offices to come together at the end of our study. They provided participants from each practice, and we asked them in a focus interview led by somebody not part of our research group what they liked best and what they liked least. They really thought that in-person contact before the intervention, having the presenter's approach being quick, brief, to the point, and then providing them with information about the audits, they thought that was really good. They didn't like having to fill out a pre and post survey more than once, unfortunately, even though we tried to keep that to a minimum. So we showed that there was improvement in completed screenings, but there was less documentation of CRC screening recommendations, and we looked at the previous year from when the charts were abstracted. We showed that providers were able to gain knowledge about screening options, especially with the use of fecal immunochemical testing. We also talked about virtual colonoscopy and where that might play a role in screening in the future. We spent a lot of time trying to talk about insurance coverages and what Medicare will cover. There was also, at the same time that we rolled this project out, Pennsylvania passed a law where colorectal cancer screening had to be accomplished as part of all insurance plans within the state. So we were heavily touting that as a reason to push for colorectal cancer screening in their patients. They felt that the materials we provided from the ACS were great. They liked the opportunity to have that short dialogue with the academic detailer during the lunch and learn opportunities. This is a small sample, and these practices were fairly well performing at the outset. As well, this was a largely Caucasian clinician and patient sample, and in a small area of Appalachian, Pennsylvania, in a very short 6-month window for our work. So those would be our study limitations. We had hoped to go back and look at these practices a year to a year and a half later. Unfortunately, with funding, we weren't able to do that. But we have an R01 in presently to test a similar academic detailing and then compare that to a short academic detailing and then control groups to study a very similar process. But we'll do this in all of Appalachian, Pennsylvania, and also New York. So hopefully we'll hear about funding in the spring about that. We'd also in that study like to look at the differences between practices actively using an electronic medical record and those still using a paper chart. Our work was supported by an NCI grant as listed, and these are my co-investigators. I did fail to list Brenda Klusman, who's a PhD, who works in the Department of Public Health Sciences at the Hershey Medical Center. Thank you.